program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, I bet you didn't know today is National Shrimp Day.
Shrimp Day.
It is.
Is that for little people?
No. I probably can't say that anymore.
But. Oh, I guess I can't. I apologize. No. I didn't know if you were saying something about that I'm a shrimp.
No.
I did not know, but I like shrimp, by the way.
Yes. But
it's not my number one seafood, but I always like that cocktail sauce that has horseradish in it.
Lots of it.
Just a little touch
so
of that.
I don't know if everybody went out and celebrated that. It's also National Clean Up Your Room Day, which I don't want to talk about. I'd have to turn the finger right back
to
myself.
Do we have other choices?
Yes. There's also, I thought about you too, there's a National Women's Checkup Day. And not that you had to have the checkup today, but just to keep in mind, it's so important to make sure that our health is somewhat of a priority and that we take care of ourselves. And you've got personal experience with that.
Well, I was surprised. I had a lump, but I had many lumps, so that was just not anything. And yet, this one kept not going away, and so and my assistant insisted on coming with me, and she said, "June, I promised your mother." My mom went to be with the Lord. I promised your mom I would take care of you. I said, Kay, it's just a lump, and it's not going to be malignant. You can tell I'm a prophet without honor, because the reason I'm not a prophet the reason I don't have honor is because my prophecy did not come true on that one.
Right.
Anyway, but it was phenomenal, all that I learned, and I was able to speak the language of people who were scared, and meaning I knew what they were going through, and I wasn't scared, but I thank God for the experience after it was over, but I knew it wouldn't be wasted. But if you have something questionable, please go. Please, it's important so that you can many times catch something way ahead than if you just continue to wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And by the way, there were some very meaningful people during that time that truly reached out to me. Speaking of reaching out, I'm going to make a suggestion. I received a number. I remember receiving one text before Mother's Day. It was a former roommate in college. And she said, "Happy Mother's Day." She said, "If it weren't for you," she said, "in essence, I wouldn't have spiritual life." And because I had tried to witness to her, and it really didn't connect. But then much later, I saw her, and I never will forget. It was a reunion, and she ran to me, jumped into my arms. She was shorter. She was a pianist, and we had a fabulous relationship. We had 3 years as roommates in college, and I loved her dearly. But it's like, well, my religion is private, and you don't need to talk about it. Well, then all of us. But she had attended several things with me, and she was describing to me. Then on Sunday, we had a long talk, and she said, "I remember the Easter message. I remember it by detail." And she said it was life-changing, but meaning that set the stage for her to be receptive to come into a life-changing relationship with Christ. So that's my precious friend, Linda. But she was wishing me happy Mother's Day. She said, "Because you've mothered so many people." And by the way, none of these people that I'm talking about that contacted me were actually relatives. So Oh, okay. Here's one. Okay. Happy Mother's Day, June. You've been a spiritual mother to countless listeners and to so many of God's confused children that he's entrusted to your wise counsel from his word. Much love from one of them. And this is someone who didn't know what to do with an unfaithful spouse and all kinds of things. And so she just would continue to ask questions. She's someone in ministry. And just beautiful what has happened in her life. Let's see. Another one. Well, yes. Anyway, my point is there someone that you're thinking about? Like, wow, by the way, someone else just sent me a Happy Mother's Day. This is a former employee. And then there were other words that were associated with it, but it was a picture of a Happy Mother's Day. And here's another one. Okay, dear June, thank you for being my spiritual mother, aunt, sister, mentor, disciple, or friend. You've showered me with love, truth, wisdom, affection, and support. Correction and faith-filled blessings. When I'm asked who's had the greatest impact on my life, you're always the answer. Now, who could you communicate that to? Say, I just want to thank you. You have been, and by the way, there's an opportunity for a spiritual father. So, because we've got Father's Day coming up, but maybe you could bless somebody like these have blessed me.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at LifelineToHope.org. That's LifelineToHope.org.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver, and you were listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of hope for the heart, and we want to thank you for your prayers and support of this ministry. If you have questions about what salvation means, you can call customer support at 800-488-HOPE. They are available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central, and they can point you to the free downloads of our quick reference guides through our website, hopefortheheart.org. Again, the number is 800-488-4673. If you would like to speak with June about a situation that's going on in your life, and you'd like to do that on a future episode, a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, please do give us a call, and the number is different from that resource line. Here's that number, 800-NIGHT-17, 800-NIGHT, 1-800-273-1717. Just call and leave a good message for us so we can get back to you and schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. And we can talk about biblical hope and practical help as it applies to your specific situation. We'd love to hear from you. Let's get to our caller for tonight, and she is calling back. We have her returning from just a few days ago, listening online here in Texas. Tonight again, we have Sarah.
Well, Sarah, I do welcome you very, very much back, and I want to know how you are right now. We were talking about domestic violence. We were talking about the challenge of what to do, and what certain things had happened to you, because I asked you about specifics. And so before we get into anything, I just want to know, how are you right now?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I have a lot of things on my mind, you know, during the daytime, just a lot of questions and a lot of prayer and, you know, seeking God. But overall, I'm doing pretty good.
Okay. So our time last week, it's only been a few days, but our time last week, was that at all helpful
yes.
to get your thinking?
Yes, ma'am, okay. It was. I think some of the takeaways, I think I thought about how serious God treats violent actions, you know, towards our fellow man, and I thought about certainly the question on, like, boundaries when I was saying, you know, well, a lot of my family members don't want me to go home. A lot of my family members and friends don't want me to go home, but I'm not sure what to do. And then mm-hmm. I think the question that you left off on was, like, well, do you have a plan of action or something in place to ensure that maybe this wouldn't happen again? I thought about that. And I thought about you know, God not trying to teach me a lesson through those actions. Certainly, you know, God works all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So,
yes.
You know, I understand that part, but just knowing that that's not something that God would use to teach me how to forgive another individual.
Yeah, God does not say, okay, I'm gonna have this person over here raped to learn about this. I'm going to have this person beaten to blah, blah, blah. You know, in other words, that's God forbids those kinds of actions. Mm-hmm. He forbids the violent acts, so he would never initiate that just to teach you a lesson. Does that make mm-hmm. sense? Why?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Good. Well, I remember thinking, whoops. And by the way, it's so understandable to have many questions, and also many people will float things. They will say things, and you've got to figure out, now, is that true? Does this line up with the Word of God?
Mm-hmm.
And I know, because I can hear, that you do know Scripture. I'm not saying you know every scripture in the Bible. I'm just saying you are comfortable quoting what you do know, because I hear it. And I'm grateful, because you want to be a woman of the Word of God, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, that's what we strongly believe, that people who call Hope in the Night, my prayer is always that they will get biblical hope and practical help. Biblical
yeah.
hope, practical help. And where you start may not be where you end, meaning there are times when you do certain things, and then that can cause a positive action or response or reaction. And, you know, sometimes we have to allow, when we're in relationships that are difficult,
mm-hmm.
it's not just a cookie cutter, oh, you always do this. Well, it depends mm-hmm. on what is this person doing, what is there something truly against the Word of God, and then what are our actions. So, and I like the fact that you understood that Okay, should something like this happen again? Now, you've mentioned already his actions. We're talking about your husband. You've been married 10 years, and it's about it started, you know, after you married in your early 20s, and it would be a year or two apart, or is it a year or two? Or let's see, was it
a year? A year or two apart. You're right.
Okay. I think that's what you said. And so, you know, and I think it began with him spitting on you.
Yes.
You know, isn't it interesting? Because that is actually that's considered one of the most insulting things a person can do. And you think, where do people really, are they used to doing that? Or did he, was is this what he experienced in his home? Did he see his dad do that? Because there are things that are repeated, but sometimes it isn't what was experienced by a parent. But it's always helpful to know that. And these are things that you need to think about in terms of when you are really talking, when the times it's you're truthing each other. You know, you're telling, you're seeking truth. Find out, you know, just say, you know, when the first time you spit on me, could you just tell me? I just want to know. Had you spit on anybody else before? Or did you see that? Did you see your dad do that? Where did that come from? That's really not, you know, there are certain cultures where people spit more. I know that sounds strange, but not so much in our Western world that I'm aware of. Do you agree with that?
Yes, ma'am.
So where does that come from? So, and the more, and then, you know, it's like putting it, what you're doing is you're putting it on the table. You're not saying you're a terrible person. You just say, is this something you would do? And, you know, were there other, did you have friends that did this? And so, and it helps bring reality into focus.
Okay.
So you said you had questions. I know there was something that concerned me is when you described, you know, grabbing you by the neck. You said, I was pregnant?
I was pregnant when he hit me, when I was actually, like, physically struck for the first time. I was pregnant. That was 2 years ago. I think I was 8 months pregnant. This time, the assault that led to me leaving my home about a month ago, I was grabbed by my hair, and my neck, it popped several times, and I don't, like I said, I don't like to talk about what happened after that, but, I left, I think, the next day.
Why don't you want to talk about it?
It's just embarrassing.
Well, one thing that I'm going to encourage you to do, I don't know if I did this the other day, for you to write it out.
Okay.
Because if you go to someone who's wise about relationships and specifically to help you know what to do, for you to write down the things that are specific that were done, and then, and the Bible says there's wisdom in many counselors. Now, that doesn't mean any counselor. It's not like a school counselor for, okay, here's a career counselor. We're talking about someone who understands family dynamics,
right,
and especially someone with a background of where there has been the verbal and emotional abuse, which is always part of it. And domestic violence, because you what you're wanting to do is to strategize, what do I do? And part of it is, what does he want? And by the way, people can change with what they want. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I need to ask, so right now, what does he say he wants?
Oh, to reconcile, for me and my daughter to come home, for us to go to counseling more.
By the way, how old is your daughter?
She's two.
Two, okay.
Mm-hmm. And she's a little older, too. Yeah.
Okay, so did you ever go to a counselor that you felt had great wisdom?
Years ago. And he's no longer in practice.
Okay.
But a lot of what I find in counseling, like the sessions that me and my husband did together recently, like since this happened and a little bit before with my depression and anxiety, it's just a lot of, well, how do you feel? What is that going to look like? I don't know. I can say, you know, I don't know that it's been really helpful because I don't know the direction. Like you said, great wisdom. I haven't really seen that. I don't know.
Well, that's where, there are people who do a certain kind of counseling. It's called non-directive. Okay. In other words, they're not trying to direct you. They just let you talk.
Right.
All they do, and that's their objective. They think that the talking is just going to bring about the healing, which you and I know. You can talk until you're blue in the face. There needs to be wisdom.
Yes,
you want wise counsel. In fact, the Bible says there's wisdom in many counselors, but you've got to get the counselors that are used to dealing with this topic. And so what I'm saying is there are people in, for example, the area of family law, if you're talking about legal counselors or family law counselors, but there are those who if you don't know the starting place, you can talk to a Christian counselor or Christian counseling entity and say, I need a Christian counselor who is wise in this area.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org. Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we'll get back to our caller in a moment. If you have questions or concerns about the topic of anxiety, we would like to point you to the Keys for Living called Calming the Fearful Heart, Anxiety, Calming the Fearful Heart. Also, we have Keys for Living on depression. It's called Walking from Darkness into the Dawn. And you can call customer support at 800-488-HOPE. They are available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central, and they can help you access the appropriate resources for you. The number again, 800-488-4673. Or you may email us at customersupport@hopefortheheart.org with any questions you might have regarding topics and resources discussed in tonight's program. The email again is customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Now let's get back to our conversation with Sarah.
Well, Sarah, in a moment I want to ask you, you said, I have a lot of questions. Now, I don't know if you wrote down the questions, but that's another thing to do is write down your questions, because it's easy to have questions, but then all of a sudden we forget. And you're not, you wouldn't be the only one. But at times we just have questions of about a lot of things. But this is very important because this is your life.
Okay.
And this involves your future. I want to tell you one thing about, to be clear about this. Domestic violence is not a pattern that just ends on its own. And it's key that you be very clear about this. It is never the fault of the victim. It is never, ever the fault of the victim. And the reason I'm saying that is because last time when we talked, you said, I did something to trigger it.
Oh, yeah.
And I said to you, no, you don't have the power to trigger it. There are many, 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 many men who are married.
Right.
It wouldn't matter what their wives did. They would never go there. And I know, I mean, I've had multiple conversations about this, and their wives know it. And sometimes my wife can take advantage of that, can try to egg something on, but nope. See, it's a character flaw in the person who does commit domestic violence.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is, because it's, and because most women think it is their fault. Why? Because they're told it's their fault. If you just did this, then I wouldn't get mad.
Mm-hmm.
If you just did that the way I told you to do it, then I wouldn't come, I wouldn't use force against you.
Right.
No, that's it. By the way, understand also, it's against the law. This it is a law in the United States, in many, many, many countries, domestic violence. It's pushing, shoving. It's not slash. It doesn't have to be a bruises and slashes. It's anything that is using force.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't do something to trigger it. It is not the fault of the victim. We write that in our material. But it does affect everyone in the family. It bridges, I'm talking about in general, domestic violence. It's not just one demographic. Like, in other words, it bridges all levels of society, racial, religious, geographic, economic. People who are wealthy, people who are poor. It undermines the value of the one who's the victim, and it seeks to dominate. This is huge. There is an attempt to dominate. See, that's trying to get a need met, a God-given need met for love, significance, and security. It makes them feel significant if they can cause fear in you to make you do whatever it is that is desired, that's wanted, whether it's right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this is a key element. it also escalates in intensity and frequency. See, it started one way, spitting on you. Now you can see it's getting more pronounced. It's getting, it's more intense. But this is classic, and that's the reason I'm focusing on this is, yes, you can say, well, it's only these, and you can say which ones they are, but because it escalates in intensity and frequency, that means that spiritual leaders, family, friends need to be responsive when informed about spousal abuse. Abuse of any kind means treating someone in a wrong way. Mm-hmm. And that would be against the word of God. Is that not true? Okay. So abuse of any kind should never be tolerated or hidden under the cover of, well, this is godly submission. No, abuse is treating someone wrongly. This is not submission. In fact, the Bible says submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. Well, you wouldn't voluntarily, any thinking person would not volunteer to say, oh, I'm happy to be abused, to be treated wrongly. No, that's not even the way the brain should work. To the contrary, the God of the Bible is our God of refuge, a stronghold of support, and a defense against violence. 2 Samuel 22:3 says, my God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior from violent people. You save me. From violent people, you save me. Talking about the Lord. You save me from violent people. But we have to yield to his will and not submit to violence. So, you said you have questions. Did you write any of your questions down?
No, I think just questions ruminate through my mind. Sometimes.
I'm having a hard time hearing you, sweetie. Could you
Can you hear me better?
That much better. Got it.
I was just saying sometimes I ruminate during the day, you know, like how can, I know God works things all, you know, he can work it for our good, but, you know, sometimes I think, like, my family knows, you know, I'm not at home. How do I get back to a sense of normalcy? Just things like, I guess, the next steps moving forward. A lot of times I think about that. And I don't know. I try not to think about, you know, the past, like why did I stay in it so long, or, you know, how to heal my marriage, how to return home, how for my husband and I to communicate better, how can he get better, things like that I think about.
Well, let me. Yeah, I'm going to be very candid. I am not trying to promote a mentality that because of what has happened. See, some people just say, "Well, then you must divorce right then there." Now, I know people can change. I've talked to many men who've changed, but not without a structure where there is that person is held to accountability, and sometimes there is anger management. We have great material on anger. If that is a pattern of his, but see, he's got to do his work, because can you imagine? When by my saying and communicating that anyone who has worked in the area of domestic violence, they know it does escalate, and the intensity. So you've got a little daughter.
Yes, ma'am.
And what happens is, I can tell you this. In fact, I'm going to tell you a story. The very first time on radio that I remember dealing with this, a woman called, and she said, I want to know what to do. My husband has been abusive. I said, what do you mean by abuse? Well, she said, 2 nights ago, he took me by the hair, dragged me down the stairs, and kicked and kicked and kicked. I said, I definitely would call that abuse. And so the way she was talking, I could tell she had a spiritual heart. And I typically don't do this, but I mean, I don't do this now, but I did ask her, have you been to your pastor about this? Long, long pause. My husband is the pastor.
Oh, goodness.
And then I said, well, have you been to the chairman of the board of deacons or chairman of the board of elders? She said, oh, it wouldn't do any good. It's just their friends. They're his friends. So I'm just praying, because this is, again, my first call that I had ever done many, many years ago. And I said, tell me, do you have children? And she said, yes, I have a son and a daughter. Do you love your children? She said, with my life. I said, in regard to your son, do you want your son to grow up to be like his father? Oh, no, no. Do you want your daughter to grow up being a victim of domestic violence? No, no, never. I said, well, understand, if you don't take action and change the dynamic, your son is going to learn this is how husbands treat wives. And for your daughter, this is how women are to respond. This is what they must accept. That, and I see earlier I had tried to get her to take action for herself, which I hadn't shared, but now I'm telling you, only when I mentioned about the children, now she was willing to take action. But she didn't know about the ramification. But what happens is, it typically, after a while, it moves from the wife to the child or children. Because there's anger out of control. You agree with me on that? Understand?
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. Our customer support team can be reached at 800-488-HOPE. They are available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they can help guide you to God's hope through our resources. I want to recommend to you the Keys for Living called Verbal and Emotional Abuse, Victory Over the Power of Abuse. Also, we have Manipulation, Cutting the Strings That Control. Those and many other resources are available as you get in touch with us. Again, customer support can be reached at 800-488-4673. Now, to speak with June about a specific situation in your life on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. And just call and leave us a detailed message so we can get back to you and schedule you on the next available Hope in the Night. Let me tell you, too, that there is no problem too small or too large. We can certainly talk with you and get you pointed, I think, in the right direction and help to instill some hope into your life and your situation. So let us help you. And again, the number is 800-NIGHT-17, 800-644-4817. Let's return to our conversation with Sarah.
Well, Sarah, the reason I told you about children is with children, there's a principle. Mm-hmm. With children, more is caught than taught. Meaning with children, they observe and they see things that are done and they, it's like they begin to model that behavior. They or repeat the behavior that was modeled before them. Now, I know your daughter's only two, but I just want you to be aware so that you, because I sense you love your daughter.
Yes, I do.
And you would not want at all for this to be a part of her life. And by the way, one of the good news factors here is when we go through something like this, you can think, okay, what should I do in the future to protect my daughter so that she won't get into a relationship that would be an abusive relationship prior to marriage, or she would have her guard up for attitudes or actions. I know that you said that this didn't start until after you married, but were there any characteristics that now, in retrospect, you look back and you think, I wish I had understood this?
Yeah, I didn't know him very long, so it wasn't, you know, I guess I didn't really have a lot of time to, you know, see, like, when a person is in a situation that causes them to become angry or how they handle, like, a lot of conflicts. I think we knew each other maybe 3 to 5 months. We weren't dating long at all, but I remember one time he became angry about a letter that he had received in the mail from an organization that had rejected him, and he just cursed, you know. And I was like, where did that come from? This is a nice Christian man who we go to church and we're good friends. Like, he just didn't seem to handle that, you know, rightly, but I kind of overlooked that one.
Well, I typically say, you know, and what you will hear is it takes longer than a year to learn the true character of someone, because people typically put forth their right. their best foot, if you will. You know, they're going, and you don't get to know the character, and you have to also wait until the infatuation is mm-hmm. gone to know what the person really is like.
Right.
And then you're able to see what this person is really like. And mm-hmm. Now I know that there are those who have very successful marriages where they've had less time, but I'm just saying that if we're talking about to be wise within a relationship that's supposed to be a relationship that lasts for a lifetime, you want to give it the right amount of time to learn the true character of a person, which right. which you're learning right now. And you're right about that letter. That's a good point. So what we have here is that for you to have the need to have a boundary, mm-hmm. a boundary is a line that should not be crossed. And you start out, okay, what is a new way of thinking about yourself? Well, God loves you. He created you in His image. And abuse is a sin against God's creation. You're a creation of His. And God did not create you to be abused. So don't think abuse is normal. Mm-hmm. So this is where you line up your thinking with God's thinking. Mm-hmm. And then you overcome your fear of the unknown by making sure that you are knowing what God says. You personalize the truth about you from God's perspective. The Bible says the Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I will not be afraid. I will not be discouraged. And that He is your strength. He is your deliverer. There are all kinds of scriptures that are wonderful for that, so that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. And therefore, there is something important now. That is, understand that there's a biblical mandate to mm-hmm. hold abusers accountable. Mm-hmm. Confrontation is biblical. In fact, let me give you some... 10 verse 15, call the evildoer to account for his wickedness that would not be otherwise found out. Call the evildoer to account for his wickedness that would not otherwise be found out. Mm-hmm. I mean, doesn't that sound clear to you?
Yes, very clear.
Okay. But see, this is where a lot of people say, oh, don't reveal this, don't tell, and they're not helping the person who needs the, you both need help, but right. he needs help. If you want him to become the man of God that he could become, mm-hmm. This is imperative,
right.
And it's not vengeance. This is not it. You're wanting him to change, to become Christ-like. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Okay. So, if you know that, then confrontation, see, can stop abuse by not enabling abusers to continue abusing others. Do you know that word, enabling?
I've heard it before. Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
It's like you continue to allow that individual to, you support them in some way in that action mm-hmm. of whatever harmful behavior they're doing to themselves or to someone else, or kind of like going along with it. Like, there's, I think there's a verse, like, if you don't I'm going to butcher it, but like if you stand by silently, you kind of like take part in it as well.
Well, you know, this is, I'm glad you understand the concept because a lot of people don't even know. Enabling is enabling the person to continue on in a way that's wrong and not helping them. It's kind of like here could be a parent, and the parent has this teenager who is on drugs, and they keep financing. Well, I've got to give my son money because he's got to have it, you know. Really? When you know he's using the money for drugs? Well, I did. You know, I mean, it's a weak person who will continue to enable a person. In fact, it's not loving that person.
Right.
So, and by the way, this is where understanding that confrontation can be used by God's Spirit to convict the person who's been abusive. By the way, do you believe he is a true, authentic Christian or not really?
I don't have any. I don't think that, I don't think that he's like a false convert or anything like that. I do think that there's something going on that deserves attention, you know, that like what's going on with him that causes him to be angry. But I don't see him in like total full-blown hypocrisy, I guess. You know, because he seems remorseful and repent. Like this time around, it's been so much more dramatically. And I guess because we left, he's never really cried before. But now he's like, I'll do whatever you want me to do. If you just come home, like I'll go to counseling. I'll go to anger management. I just really want to change. I want our marriage to be better. He seems, you know, he's like, mm-hmm. I cry every day. I can't stop crying for y'all. But I don't want to come home if things aren't ready, but he does. I don't think he's like a false convert. I just think that.
Okay. Well, see, that's if he is a true, authentic Christian, and people can get off into wrong behavior, but the Spirit of God's not going to allow them to continue. Mm-hmm. That because the Spirit of God lives within each true, authentic Christian, and so they'll convict. They'll feel conviction from the Spirit of God. So. You know, I will tell you, there are different areas. I'm going to mention a person, how do you find a very on-target counselor? As I said, if you know a counseling group already that is Christian, you can contact them and ask, do they have someone who has an expertise in domestic violence, that you need someone who is highly experienced? Or, and now there are times when you can go to, there are shelters for battered women and children, but they know excellent people who can be of help. They'll have a list, but you tell them it needs to be a Christian. Now, that's when it can be. You don't know that they will always recommend a Christian, because again, it's not just somebody who goes to a church. It's an authentic Christian who uses the Word of God and will help him and help you. But what you got to do is, you know, develop basically it's God's perspective on biblical love, submission, authority. But nothing that is true love never authorizes or gives license to abuse. Nothing excuses it. So we are going to be sending you a material already on domestic violence. I'm also going to send you a material on verbal and emotional abuse. This will help beautifully in tandem, and let us know how we can help you in the future.
We will send resources to tonight's caller free of charge. We do that because of your generous support of this ministry. We thank you for that. We'll be sending along the Keys for Living called Verbal and Emotional Abuse, Victory Over the Power of Abuse. You may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE. Anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, check out our broadcast app. It is free wherever you find your apps. It is called Hope for the Heart, and we hope you'll check that one out as well. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.